This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 66.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friend? So appreciate you tuning in to another masterclass Flip Empire Show here. In a few minutes here, I'm going to introduce you to a friend of mine by the name of Chris Bruce out of Tampa, who is a wholesaler slash virtual wholesaler. And just to give you a little bit of his background before we get into the masterclass here, and I'm going to share with you what we're going to be talking about is Chris is a young guy, 32 years old, comes from, you know, the rough part of town in Detroit. He moved to Tampa, Florida in about 2005, I believe, and got started in this business full-time 2009 and has built a very successful business, primarily wholesaling and virtual wholesaling. And he's been coaching some people to success. So definitely someone you're going to want to listen to. And what we're really going to be diving into on this show is, number one, how do you get leads for free? You know, how do you get people bringing you the types of leads and properties that you're looking for? And then number two, what do you do with those leads? Like, a lot of people I know are leaving this, you know, out of the equation, and they're leaving a lot of money on the table as a result of it. So, you know, I'm currently coaching some students right now that are on a limited marketing budget or either have no budget at all. And sometimes it can be challenging and frustrating, you know, to get going if you don't have certain financial resources to, you know, market, generate leads and really get your business off the ground. And so I think particularly if you find yourself in that position, or even if, you know, you just want more leads in your business, right? Who doesn't need and want more leads in the real estate wholesaling business? I think you're going to enjoy this episode because we're going to kind of do a deep dive into, number one, again, how do you have people bring you leads of the types of properties you're looking for? And then what can you do with those leads? You know, so how do we contact these people? How do we find the homeowners that are difficult to track down because it might be a vacant property or just might be difficult to get their information online? And so we're going to get into that. I think you're going to enjoy it. And as always, we're going to have all of the resources mentioned in the episode in the show notes page on flipempire.com for this particular episode 66. So definitely check it out. If you have any questions, I look forward to featuring it on an upcoming show. Talk to you soon. Enjoy the show. What's going on, everybody? Back with another masterclass here with my good friend Chris Bruce out of Tampa. And guys, we're going to launch right into it. You know, you just kind of heard me give a little bit of an intro as to Chris, you know, how he got started in this business. He was, you know, he's from Detroit, moved to Tampa, got started in real estate 2009, and has found financial freedom primarily through wholesaling and virtual wholesaling. And that's obviously, you guys, you know, if you've been listening to the show for some time now, you know that I've done all types of deals, got started in this business in 2005, and wholesaling has always been my bread and butter. It's something that I'm really passionate about, and it's the foundation of what every real estate investor should have. No matter how experienced you are, if you're just getting started, wholesaling is a fantastic business. I find that, you know, working and coaching some people now, I find that most people are looking for, yes, they want to make more money, but ultimately it's about freedom. It's about being able to do what they want, when they want, with their family, just being able to take time off. And Chris and I, we've been exchanging some messages over the course of the last few months because he's been putting out a lot of great content on his Facebook page, on his podcast. And, you know, he's somebody that walks the walk. He's also been very successful in helping people start and launch their own wholesaling business. So he's got a lot of great value to add here. I think you're really going to enjoy the show. So, Chris, man, I know you had a long night, man. We were talking right before we jumped on here, man. So I appreciate you, you know, you jumping on here, man, to drop some value bombs.
Oh, man, no problem, Alex, man. I'm just glad to be on the show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, awesome, dude. I remember you and Antonio Edwards, who we had back on the show. I think it was episode 4 or 6. You guys were in Miami, and I remember we got together for lunch at P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
So, man, it's great to reconnect with you here, man. I know you're doing a lot of great things out in Tampa. You're working with a lot of students. So, yeah, man, I think one of the things I really wanted to jump into that I think would help a lot of people listening in now is, First of all, if you kind of, you know, I already talked about your story, how you got started in this business, how wholesaling is, you know, really also your bread and butter. But a lot of people, I think you and I find when, as we coach people, either don't have a budget or they really don't have a big budget. And so what I want to do is really focus the show today on, let's talk to the people that might not have a big marketing budget or really any budget. I know one of the things you're an expert at is, you know, finding deals, cold calling. You know, you've been able to build an army of bird dogs that bring you deals. And so while people listening in may be thinking to themselves, that's not sexy, I've heard this before, you know, I want to caution you to really, like, that's kind of the time where you really need to perk your ears up. And, you know, these are things that are just time and tested throughout the years. They always work. They'll always continue to work. And I think you're going to pick up some things on how Chris is going about, you know, picking up deals, getting people, bringing him leads, cold calling. So, yeah, man, I know I just dropped a lot on there, and there's a lot to cover there. So maybe if we can start from the beginning, you know, the people that, like I said, might not have a big marketing budget. How do you recommend people get started to start finding deals?
Okay, great. So I would say if you do not have a budget, there's two things you can do. To number one, if you're just looking to get a deal, I would say, you know, work on building up your buyers list. You can, you know, call different for rent signs and see if some of those landlords might be looking to buy more properties. You know, you can put up bandit signs or whatever the case may be. You can just call other signs as well and see, you know, if they have any deals. But basically, if you build up your buyers list, you know, post some ghost ads of some fictitious properties that you have on Craigslist, get some buyers. And of course, you can network with other wholesalers that have deals and just do a joint venture just to get some money in your pocket, you know, if you're first starting off. However, if you're looking to get your own inventory, the best way that we've done it without spending any money, and of course I spend money on my business, but
right,
still use this in various markets, is putting up ads for bird dogs. And I'll talk about the ad that I use here so that way you guys can use it in, you know, in your business. But what we do is we'll go out and we'll go on Craigslist, and in the labor section of Craigslist, the labor gig section, we'll post an ad for a vacant house locator. So we don't use the word bird dogs. We might use a vacant house locator or a house hunter. And
property locator, something along those lines.
Right, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll post that ad and say that they can make up, you know, to a certain amount of money. Let's say make up to $3,000 a month. Now, we're not saying that they're going to make that, but we're saying they can make up to it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll go and say we're looking for house hunters, you know, around the city. We're a real estate company who buys properties. You know, we're looking to scale up from what we're buying now to the next level. So let's say we say we're buying 3 or 5 houses a month. We're looking to scale up to 10. We need more houses. And then we basically just explain that, you know, it's an opportunity for them, you know, to basically get paid for finding vacant properties. And we say if they're interested, go ahead and, you know, reply back to this ad, or if I have a link to, you know, a website, which we, generally what we will do. But for those of you that don't have, I'm pretty sure a lot of you don't have a website, as simple as just, you know, telling them to reply back or give you a call. And I'm telling you, if you post this ad up,
yeah,
you'll get so many interested people that will want to do this. To
make sure. I hear you, man. And I'll kind of chime in here, man, because I remember I did the exact thing you're talking about years ago. And I can speak to it. I mean, I back you 100%, man, because you're going to get a ton of people reaching out to you. Do you, one of the things I always recommend, you know, people that I work with, if they're going to go the route of finding property finders or property locators, is, and I'm curious your thoughts, you may have a different take on it. So one of the mistakes I made, Chris, was when I put out ads for, you know, bird dogs, property finders, whatever you want to call them, I didn't have any training in place for these people. So I had these people literally sending me, you know, properties that had, you know, realtor signs in the front. I just had people sending me a bunch of addresses. And then, like, I had at the time, this was like 5, 6 years ago, I had a virtual assistant having to do all the research. And that's one of the things I quickly learned is that, you know, if you're going to go out and look for property locators, make sure that you have some basic training or at least some criteria in place so that they know exactly what you're looking for and what to send you. Otherwise, at least this was my experience. I'm curious what yours is. I found that, you know, it was almost like a whole new job for my virtual assistant to go do all the research on just these addresses that people were sending in.
Nah, that's definitely true. I mean, what I would tell you too, and you can actually, this is what we've done. We actually did it for a client of ours, is what we'll do is create a video. So he has a professional video that was created. But, you know, for those of you that's listening, you don't have to have, you know, the top notch level, you know, a camera to record a video. Most of you guys have a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Record a video of yourself talking about the properties that you're looking for. You can even go out and maybe show what a vacant property looks like, some signs to know that it is a vacant property, and then let them know that, hey, I'm not looking for stuff that's already on the internet. I can find that myself. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
We're looking for off-market deals that you find vacant properties. And definitely, if you create a video, you'll really be able to hone in on the person, letting them know exactly what you're looking for and what you're not looking for, you know, so that way they don't send you stuff that, you know, is just basically gonna be wasting your time.
Yeah. So on this video, you recommend they look for, you know, obviously just some of the basic signs like tall grass, boarded up windows. There might be graffiti on the property. There might be like notices posted or stickers on the windows or the doors. You know, sometimes here in Miami, man, if you're in a bad neighborhood, sometimes you might even see like police yellow tape around the property. I mean,
right.
you see all kinds of stuff out here, man. So you're recommending just have them create just a simple 3 to 5 minute video on their smartphone, maybe even in front of a vacant house. Hey, look, here's a perfect example of what we're looking for.
Yeah, most definitely do that and put that in the ad, because another thing too, what I've learned is that some people will be interested in the ad. And they'll be interested in, but then when you actually talk to them, and then they'll say, all right, I don't want to do this. So if you do a video, excuse me, and they can actually see what the work is going to be needed, mm-hmm. To, you know, that you have, they have to do, you'll be able to really, screen people and find out which ones you actually, you know, will actually want to work for you anyway.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, basically it's like, all right, well, this is too much work. I don't want to do this. And
Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of circle back and tie in, one of the things you said in the beginning, Chris, is you talked about, you know, putting out bandit signs. I've actually found that, you know, you might have, let's say you place an ad on Craigslist for a property locator, property finder. You might have, I don't know, 50 to 100 people apply, reach out to you. Of those, you might find a handful of actual bird dogs that you would say are really good, that are hustling. A lot of these people will also, you know, if you have bandit signs, they'll go out and put bandit signs for you. Post-it notes is one of the things that we're doing. So, you know, we had some post-it notes made, you know, so we have somebody out there putting out. So not only is he sending back the address and any contact information he might be able to find, he or she might be able to find online about that property. But since they're already out there looking for deals, you know, if you have bandit signs or if you have post-it notes, you could even write a simple, like one line on a yellow letter, interested in buying your house, we buy cash, with your phone number, you know, have these people drop it in the mailbox. 'Cause you never know. Sometimes it's, you know, they have a neighbor that's checking mail for them, or, you know, you just never know. So, I wanted to throw that in there, because if you have property locators out there already trying to send you leads and looking at vacant houses, you know, one of the things I like to do is have them put a post-it note, a bandit sign, or some sort of note, in addition to the postcard that we're going to send them in the coming days.
Gotcha. I like that.
Yeah, definitely, man. So is there any other type of training aside from this video, you know, that you provide these people? Do you find yourself having to kind of sift and sort, you know, through a lot of just not what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, we have a system that we use. They actually changed the name of it. I think it's...
Is it Domar's?
It's Domar's system.
Yeah.
So most of the leads, they all get sent through there. But there is training inside of there that they've created, you know,
yeah.
It's a good system.
We have the same system, and we'll actually include a link so you guys can check that out. I think we had Domar back on episode like 18 or 20 or one of those episodes, and we may have touched on it then, but we'll include a link in the show notes if you guys want a system specifically for property locators. But honestly, like, it's a great system, it's really going to help, but you don't need it. Like, if you're you're just getting started, just like Chris, you know, recommended, forget about a web form or a website, just have them reply back. And I think the idea is, you know, what's that saying, man? It's done is the new perfect. You know, it's like, forget about having all the systems up and running, especially if you're just getting started, like, just start creating some momentum. And I think this is a great strategy for people that either have a very limited budget or don't have a budget at all, because really the name of the game is marketing, getting leads, sending offers, and following up. At least if I was going to boil it down to its simplest form, that's really what's going to move the needle in terms of driving revenue and closing deals in the business. Dude, anything else, man, aside from property locators? I know, you know, one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about is cold calling. And I know that's, a lot of people have a fear about cold calling. What's kind of your take on how you've been able to get deals, by just, you know, basically dialing for dollars?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we'll do, and I'm gonna give you guys a few different resources. Now, we use MicroBuilt to do a lot of our skip tracing.
And what's the name of that company?
It's called MicroBuilt.
Interesting. I never heard of them. Okay.
Yeah. And it's, I'm paying about, I don't know, $55 a month. And then certain searches are like 10 cents a search, or the most extensive ones that provide a lot of information are like a dollar. But anyways, the thing about my MicroBuilt, I don't know, have you heard of Tilo, Alex?
Yeah, actually, that's what we use to skip trace. Okay. TLO. Yeah.
Yeah, Tilo is a very, very good one. And it's it might be a little more expensive, of course, than MicroBuilt. But for those guys, both of those service guys, you have to have certain things in your office in order to get approved by them. So you have to have some type of file cabinet or a desk where you can actually lock up the files.
Right. Password protected computer, a lock on the door, things like
that. Exactly. So you have to have those things in order to get it. So if you have those, then I would definitely recommend, you know, to you. Definitely subscribe to one of those channels of skip tracing softwares, because it works great and the information is accurate. But there's other sites. I've heard people using White Pages. They have a new paid service that they said some people have been using it and it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think it's only like, man, we looked into it a while back. I think it's like $25-$30 a month. It's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, pretty expensive. I mean, you got stuff like Spokio. So what I would tell you guys, well, basically what we're doing is we'll pull our leads. We'll have our leads from apps, the owners, high equity, you know, free and clear leads. Some of them will actually not even be apps, the owners. We actually target homeowners that live in their property as well, too. But what we'll do is we'll run a skip trace. And the first thing that we do is we try to find a family member. So most people think, oh, well, let's just go after the homeowner first. Mm-hmm. But I actually like to try to get an introduction from a family member to the homeowner.
Interesting.
Because, you know, you're just cold calling somebody. They don't know you from Adam and Eve, you know.
Yeah,
so,
right.
What we'll do is we'll try to get in touch with one of the family members first and just say that, hey, you know, we were interested in purchasing the property. And, you know, if they could put us in touch with their sister, brother, or whoever the case may be, you know, the relationship to the homeowner.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times that'll work out where they will, you know, either give them their number or, you know, they'll put an introduction for us somehow. And then basically once we get on with the homeowner, we're just, you know, basically asking them, hey, we're looking for properties in your area. And, you know, your property is definitely a great fit. What we were looking for, we're just trying to see if you might be in the market to sell.
Yeah.
And if you are, you know, then you just go into the regular questions that you will talk with a homeowner.
Got it.
So a deal that we just recently just picked up, Alex.
Yeah, and I know we were talking about that, you know, prior to jumping on here on the podcast is you mentioned to me that you guys just picked up a deal. Was it, I know it was from cold calling, but did it also come from one of your property locators?
No. This deal was straight from a list that we had pulled. And it's so funny because when we went out to the appointment and actually you know, got the contract, the thing was that she said that it's a good thing that you called me because I've been getting these freaking postcards like crazy.
I believe
you're the only one that picked up the phone and called.
Dude, you know, isn't that funny, man? I can't tell you how many times we've heard that feedback from homeowners that, like, my acquisitions manager will go out and, you know, he tells me it's not uncommon for that person to show him, like, I don't know, man, 15, 20, like, yellow, white postcards, you know, like, bro, like, we're all like in the same community and, like, the same direct mail pieces kind of float around. And it's funny, man. Everybody uses a lot of the same stuff. And that's a whole nother conversation. You know, you want to figure out a way to kind of cut through the clutter. But I can't tell you how many people have told us, you know, we leave messages and people don't call back. I'm thinking to myself, man, what kind of operation are people running that they spend money on marketing and they don't pick up the phone?
I think they get nervous or something. That might be.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So anyway, man. So yeah, back to this deal. So yes.
So I talked with her. It was an elder lady. Basically, she told me that she lives in a condo. She has this house that's been vacant for about 5 or 6 years. And she definitely was just, you know, looking to get rid of it because she's trying to sell that, sell her condo, and then move into assisted living. And she told me, you know, what she was looking to get for it, and the price wasn't that bad. And then actually went to take a look at it and seen updated that it needed. We was able to get it $5,000 less than what she was asking. But yeah, this came straight from a cold call lead, man.
So this was an actual, just to kind of backtrack so people can, you know, I guess, follow your steps here. So this was from one of your direct mail lists that you guys were sending postcards to?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What was that list, if you don't mind sharing? This was an absentee or an owner-occupied list?
No, this was an absentee free and clear list.
Okay, free and clear list. Any other criteria? Because I know one of the things you mentioned was this lady was elderly. One of the tips I want to share with you guys, which I may have talked about on a previous show, is, you know, last year, we went through this exercise. Matter of fact, we just finished going through that exercise a couple weeks ago. Around December of every year, we look back at all the deals we closed for that year, and we try to figure out what are the common denominators with all these deals. And 9 out of 10 times, one of the things that we realized a couple of years ago really was that most of the homeowners that we were closing deals with were over the age of 50, 60 years old. Mm-hmm. So now that's, you know, whenever we pull a list, that's one of our criteria, is the homeowner is at least 50 or 55 plus years of age. I forget what the exact filter is, but very unlikely that you're going to probably close a deal with somebody in their 30s, you know, like a family getting started. You know, obviously it can happen, but at least for us, I'm not sure if that's kind of your experience, but most of the homeowners are elderly.
Most of the homeowners are definitely older.
Yeah. So was there any other criteria on that particular list that you got?
No, just basically that they were older, and then also that they own a house for at least 10 years or longer.
Okay, got it. So you guys sent out a direct mail campaign, a postcard to this list. And then in addition to that, do you also skip trace certain records? Or this was a cold call. Did they call you first and then you guys just returned the call?
No, this was just we actually had some postcards that came back. Okay. And then from there, we just went ahead and skip trace and then called.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So yeah, man, what were the numbers on this particular property? What was the ARV? What was the after repair value? What did you pick it up for and all that?
Yeah, no, done. So this property here, the ARV is around 90,000. We looked at comps of stuff was selling in the area. It was around 50 to 55. She was asking 40, and we ended up picking it for 35.
Nice, man. Did you guys close on it already?
No, we're going to be closing on it in about a week. So just with the holidays and everything kind of tied up a little bit longer than expected.
Yeah. What did you end up finding a buyer to commit to it for?
For 47.
Nice, man. Nice. And you picked it up for 35, you said?
Yeah, for 35. Yeah.
Nice. And you guys are assigning this one, or are you doing a double closing?
Just a straight assignment. Yeah, just straight
assignment. Nice, man. So $12,000 from a simple direct mail campaign, and you followed up with a skip trace.
Yeah. So I tell everybody, man, I mean, skip tracing is something, because if anybody's out there doing direct mail, I'm pretty sure you're getting return mail.
Absolutely. If you're not getting return mail, you're doing something wrong. Yeah,
definitely. So I mean, instead of, honestly, guys, we used to just throw them away, and I was like, man, there's got to be some type of way that we could get in touch with these people, because you know, I know if I'm sending them and I'm getting back return mail, there's a lot of other people that's getting return mail, so they might not be getting anything.
Yeah.
But those are probably going to be some hot leads. And so we just added the skip tracing to our business this year.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you mentioned that because honestly, it's a niche within a niche. If you're spending money on direct mail and you're getting, you know, these return mailers, which like we just talked about, it's going to happen. You know, if you don't do anything with them, you're basically flushing money down the toilet. And a lot of people either don't have the tools to figure out how to skip trace them. They either don't know or they're just lazy and they don't have a system built out. And, you know, so it's, that's why I say it's a niche within a niche, is because other people are sending this particular homeowner direct mail. They're also getting the return. I'm guessing a small percentage of these people are going through the extra step, going above and beyond to skip trace them. And then do they even know how to have that conversation with them? So, do you guys have a particular like process or a system built out for the skip tracing? I've never heard of MicroBuilt. We use TLO. And like you said, it's a little bit of a process to get approved, but it's definitely worth it. But do you have like a certain process that either you or somebody in your team goes through to skip trace? I'm not talking about like the technical aspects of just using the system, because that might vary. But like, let's say you might have like a UPS box, the return mail goes back. Like, how does it go from point A to the point where somebody skip traces it?
Yeah, sure. So right now, and I'm trying to work on a better system. Right now, what happens generally is just once I get them that come back, I'll scan it on my printer scanner thing. And pretty much my VA will look those addresses up.
Okay.
And then from there, she'll just do the research, look them up on MicroBuilt, and then start to give it to our other assistant that makes the calls. And then she'll just do the calls pretty much daily. But her whole job is to just cold call.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Okay, so you have a VA that does the actual skip tracing, and then you have somebody dedicated, like what I call a lead manager, somebody that just pounds the phones.
Right, right.
Okay, perfect. Any resistance that they typically get? Because I know that, you know, our lead manager, sometimes when we call the skip trace leads and we'll call family members, like people will kind of put their guard up and they're like, well, who are you? You know, how'd you get my number? Why are you calling about this property? Is there a particular, I guess, script or objection handlers that your lead manager goes through to kind of, you know, break down those barriers?
Yeah, we do have a script, and basically we'll just, I have it where my assistant says she's just working for a real estate team, and the information, because most people say, how'd you get information? And she'll provide them the information, public records.
Yep.
You know, let them know that everything's public records, and she's basically just calling on behalf of a real estate investment company. So it kind of gets them to, she hasn't had anybody like cuss her out or anything. She has had a few people hang up.
Yeah, right.
But the thing is that most people have been receptive to it, and they haven't been, you know, rude or anything like that.
Yeah. It's the nature of the beast. You know, anybody listening in right now that is getting started, and they, you know, maybe they have a fear of, you know, cold calling, right? Look at it from the perspective that you're here to help these people out. Yes, obviously you're running a business, you're doing it to make money, but a lot of these people have properties that are just sitting vacant. Some of these people need the money, or there's code violations. It's a headache property for a lot of people, and you're there to provide a valuable service. So I think when you approach a conversation, don't look at it as a cold call per se, but if you approach it like you're here to help them out and just genuinely listen to their situation, it kind of takes the pressure off of, you know, I find that for some people that I've worked with, I've kind of given them that suggestion, and they've shared with me that it's taken the pressure off, and they don't have as much of a, you know, as much fear around going and picking up the phone. And again, the worst that happens is they hang up, they might cuss you out, thick skin, move on to the next one. Not a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually, dude, like I remember this was maybe 3 years ago. We had somebody cuss out our lead manager, and we followed up with them like, I don't know how, it may have been like 7, 8, 9 months later. And we ended up doing the deal. Now, So it's crazy because we have in Podio, we have like a little status field called rant. And every once in a while, we'll have people that will call in and you know, we have our conversations recorded just for like internal training purposes. And sometimes people will leave like just nasty messages, or they'll, you know, they're rough to deal with, man. And so we tag those, and it's kind of funny, you know, it's kind of sad in certain cases, but follow up, like, you never know. Like, honestly, the name of the game is follow up. I don't know about you guys, but probably 70-80% of our deals, you know, come from the follow up. So
yeah, it's just like I tell people, think about it, it's just advertising. I mean, when you see a new iPhone coming out, you see it multiple times, you know, and it's you see it advertises so much that he's like, all right, I'm kind of interested in buying it now, you know, whatever. And it's the same thing with your marketing and real estate. Things change. People's situations change. They see your marketing, consistently, you know, however, whether it's online or direct mail in the inbox, mailbox, and, you know, something changes where they need some money now, or situation happens and they have saw your marketing consistently, then they're going to, you know, give you a call because they say this person is really, you know, very interested in purchasing my property. And one thing you don't want to do as well is that you don't want to spend money on marketing and don't follow up. And then the situation changes. Then the next person comes around and gets the deal from your hard work because you just happen to stop.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly right. I always tell, like, I'm working with somebody now that's on a pretty tight budget and he wants to do direct mail. And, you know, he approached me and he wanted to basically take his, you know, $500 budget and send out one campaign to all these different records in his county. And I said, look, don't commit to a direct mail campaign if you can't do at least four touches. So if you can't remail these people every 60 to 90 days, then don't bother committing to, you know, a campaign, because yeah, you might get lucky and connect on a deal in the first campaign. But my experience is that, you know, you gotta, like you just said, man, you gotta stay consistent. So if you have a small budget, figure out how to maybe target like a niche list, like maybe properties that are vacant and have violations, or maybe a divorce list, or maybe a tax delinquent list. Right. Get a smaller number of records in a hot part of town, you know, a hot zip code where there's a lot of cash sales. And I would say if you have a small budget and you want to do direct mail, focus on that. But the other thing is, like we talked about, just to kind of bring this, you know, this podcast interview full circle, like Chris talked about, is put a simple ad on Craigslist. I think a Craigslist ad might cost you, what, $25?
Yeah.
Yeah, but back in the day, it was free. Now it costs you $25. Put an ad. I don't guarantee very many things. I can almost guarantee you're going to get several people apply. And then just like Chris mentioned, you know, create a simple 3 to 5 minute video in front of a vacant property, teaching them, educating them what you're looking for, and have people sending you leads. I mean, that's the name of the game. Without leads, without marketing, it's going to be very difficult to close deals and make money.
And you can also put an ad out. So the thing is that it does cost about $25 if you put it in, for instance, the job section. But if you go into the gigs, the labor gig section, it's free.
Okay, you know what, man? I didn't know that. I thought that also in the labor gig section they were charging.
No, that's free.
Yeah, okay. Free. Okay, cool. Very cool, man. Very cool. Dude, this is one question I always ask before we start to kind of wrap things up here. How old are you, man? You're in your 30s, right?
Yep, 32. I just turned 32, man.
32. Okay, so rewind the clock 10 years. You know, I know you were at a completely different stage in your life. Yeah, I know you were out partying and you were out, you know, bottle popping and table hopping and the whole nine. But
yeah,
what's, you know, for anybody listening in, you know, based on your experience and kind of what you went through, how did you kind of break through that stage of your life to get to where you are now? Because, you know, obviously I've known you for a while now, man. And I know things were completely different for you back then. So what's the advice you'd give your 22-year-old self?
Man, I would just say, you know, get serious about life, number one, and just, you know, look at if back then I would have knew the importance of education, self-education, I would have definitely put more of an emphasis on that. The biggest thing that has changed for me is that really the people that I've met and also the books that I've read, mm-hmm. and it's really helped me get to the level that I'm at now. And then the level that I'm going to be at, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. So
yeah,
it's self-education, man. It's so important. You know, I know a lot of people put, emphasis on getting educated through college. And I definitely say that it's a very good thing to do. You know, definitely, you know, have your college education, but don't just stop there. You know, get some self-development books, especially if you, you know, you want to go in and start a business. Because I was reading the other day, Alex, that, you know, entrepreneurs pretty much, we get beat up more than the average, you know, person, you hit, from all the no's and everything that we
hit the nail on the head. If you're, you know, if you're thinking of starting a business and you want to be an entrepreneur because it's the sexy, cool thing to do these days, I mean, you know, the hustle and the grind, and like, there's so much awareness now around entrepreneurs, shows like Shark Tank, The Profit. Like, I just feel like it's the cool thing, right, to be an entrepreneur these days. If you don't have thick skin and if you're not ready to just fall flat on your face a bunch of times and just keep getting back up, then it's probably not for you, right? But no, man, I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah. So I just, you know, tell everybody, man, and that's what I would have told myself, is just to really put the emphasis on the self-education and just understanding how business works and understand the mindset that you have to be successful, because a lot of people don't touch on that. They think you just need to have these tools and these gadgets and, you know, just have all the strategies and stuff. But if the mindset isn't right, it's still not going to work for you.
Yeah, man, you could basically give people a franchise, a system in a box. And if, like you said, man, you don't have it right between the ears, it's not going to happen. And I think it's Jim Rohn that said that famous quote, you know, formal education will make you a living, self-education will make you a fortune. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, man, you become the type of man or woman you're destined to be based on, you know, what you put into your mind, i.e. the books you read and the people you surround yourself with. So it's critical, man. It's that mindset is something that's overlooked by a lot of people. And that, you know, it's, if you don't have that, it doesn't matter what you learn. It's not going to work for you.
Nope.
So cool, man. Well, hey, dude, I know, like I mentioned, you have a podcast, and you know, you have a great site. Where can people connect with you, find out more about everything you have going on?
Yeah, sure. They can go to my website, escapethenewbiezone.com. That's my podcast that I have. Alex has been on the show. He's actually going to be coming on the show again as well. So depending on when you listen to it, you'll probably hear his second episode. But escapethenewbiezone.com. That's the best place to get in touch
with. Fantastic. Well, yeah, guys, definitely check it out. I look forward to being on, Chris. And yeah, man, let's definitely stay in contact. I appreciate you, you know, sharing how I think this episode's really going to be helpful for the people that might be struggling to kind of break through. You know, we talked about some different ways to get leads for free through property locators. And I think a big takeaway is that, you know, if you're not skip tracing these leads, you know, you're leaving money on the table. So we'll include all those resources in the show notes page, guys. If you have any questions, make sure to comment below. If you have anything for Chris, send a comment there and I'll connect with him, and we'll make sure to get your questions answered. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Look forward. Make sure you check out this Thursday's Q&A show coming out and then next week's masterclass. So thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.